Word of mouth Wednesday. We're back here for another Wednesday on the 31st of March, the end of the month. And this is our March to the New World Order show. Tonight we've got some clips coming up. We've got a few clips here on the Ontario budget, which was released last week. The Finance Minister, Dwight Duncan, and his plans for the future of Ontario when it comes to the economic situation. Plus, we're going to be moving along. We're going to be talking a bit about playing a clip from the Arctic Ocean Foreign Ministers meeting on Monday, of which, you know, people from all around the world were there speaking about, you know, the Arctic coastline and what's going on there. Plus, we might even get to what could be considered the largest fraud in history, an economic situation that is shaking the Wall Street right now. We might be getting into that.
Good evening, Toronto, and welcome again to Wednesday Word of Mouth here on CKLN 88.1. I am your co-host, Robin Nieto, on tonight's show. After those clips, we're going to be talking about Toronto and the mayor's race. We'll introduce you to four candidates, and then we'll be taking your calls to find out what you think the city needs. Then we'll be talking with Raul Bourbano about the People's Conference on Climate Change that's taking place on April 20th, between April 20th and 22nd in Bolivia, and how you can get ready to go. All this and so much more right here on Wednesday Word of Mouth.
Thanks, Robin, and shout out to Victor Baines Marshall, who took off in the Middle Passage a bit early, and I filled in there with a few tracks. You can check out the playlist at ckln.fm for more info on that. But we'll be right back with our first clip of the day coming up. Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m. Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. All right, so we're going to start off the show this week, I think it's only fitting to get into the Ontario budget, because if you tuned in last week, you would have heard that we had some politicians from Ryerson campus on, actually in the studio. We had the president of CSER, we had a board member of CSER, and we had the vice president of the RSU in the studio. And one of the things that they mentioned was that Dwight Duncan was actually on campus last week and that he hadn't made an announcement about the economics involving post-secondary education, but he did make an announcement involving the numbers that he's looking for an increase of 20,000 more students next year in post-secondary education. Well, the Ontario budget speech gave some more info on that. And actually, I just saw it posted on YouTube. You can actually check some clips on this on the Ron Ziggs Gallery site, youtube.com/Ron Ziggs Gallery. And here is a bit of highlights here of Dwight Duncan's speech on the Ontario budget. Here is what to look out for in 2010.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to present Ontario's 2010 budget. Working together, we must continue to create jobs in the short term and continue to lay the foundation for growth and a new prosperity. The Open Ontario Plan will create an Ontario even more open to new ideas, new people, new investment, and most importantly, new jobs. Our tax plan for jobs and growth is Ontario's most significant tax reform in a generation. It will create jobs. It will create jobs and open Ontario to new investment and enhanced growth. Open Ontario's goal is to raise Ontario's post-secondary attainment rate to 70%. As a first step, this budget provides $310 million in new funding for 20,000 new spaces in colleges and universities this year. Every qualified Ontarian who wants to go to college or university will find a place.
Very good.
Under our plan, Northern Ontario will see more jobs and more economic activity.
Very good.
In spite of the challenges facing the northern economy, we continue to see real success in the region. For instance, Ontario's first diamond mine opened there in 2008. There are many more new opportunities to be found in the north, particularly in the region known as the Ring of Fire. For the 21st century, the discovery of chromite used to make stainless steel in the Ring of Fire could be as big as the discovery of nickel was in the 19th century. We are fully committed to working with Aboriginal peoples and all Northern Ontarians to build on the Ring of Fire's significant potential. Federal funding, Mr. Speaker, for child care is also ending. Despite this, the McGuinty government will step in and continue funding the child care spaces abandoned by the federal government, Mr. Speaker.
Very good news. Very good news.
Our investment.
Very good news. Well done.
Our investment will equal $63.5 million a year. Our government will reduce the size of the deficit every year. For the year just ending, we forecast a reduced deficit of $21.3 billion, a notable improvement since I last reported to Ontarians last fall. We will cut the current deficit in half in 5 years and eliminate the deficit in 8 years. Our path to recovery is fair, our path to recovery is realistic, and above all else, our path to recovery is responsible, Mr. Speaker. All of us who are paid with tax dollars have a role to play as we chart the course forward. We have what it takes to be the best. Our Open Ontario plan will get us there. We can do it. We can do it together. And when we do, we will be bigger. We will be better. We will be stronger. Merci, Monsieur le Président. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Of mouth. So that was some words there from the Finance Minister of Ontario, Dwight Duncan. Those were the plans that he's outlining. And then if you actually check out the Ron Ziggs Gallery site, if you want to see the visual of this, you would see in the side bar in the text box, the Ron Ziggs got the message, the Ontario budget helped those who needed help the least while ignoring and penalizing those who need help the most. And then he links to see responses and more info on the budget document. You can check the Recession Relief Coalition website, recession-relief-coalition.org, for the take from the Recession Relief Coalition on this situation here that we're moving into in Ontario in this upcoming fiscal year, I guess. So that was some of the words there on from the Ontario economic speech. And then I was thinking that this could be a good time actually to get into here's actually one from a few weeks ago. This is a speech. This is a bit of the speech of the Lieutenant Governor David Onley, just to reinforce this perception of Open Ontario. Here is what David Onley had to say, and notice the similarities to Dwight Duncan.
That's why your government is launching a new 5-year Open Ontario plan. Because growing our economy and growing stronger requires that Ontario be open to change, open to opportunities, open to our new world. The Open Ontario Plan will create an Ontario even more open to new ideas, new people, new investment, not only to replace old jobs that have gone, but to create the new jobs that are coming. Not only to build the things that made us great in the last century, but to build the things that will make us great in this one, attracting the interest of the world's investors and entrepreneurs. Those projects will need solar panels and wind turbines. Ontarians will build them, and we will sell them all over North America. Your government is also doing its part to streamline services for business through its Open for Business strategy. Those are just some of the steps your government is taking to create an Ontario that is more open to new investment, new Ontario jobs, and new industries. The development and sale of new technologies and services for water conservation and treatment. The Conference Board of Canada estimates the global market for water technology at more than $400 billion US per year and doubling every 5 to 6 years. In the next 20 years, worldwide demand for water is expected to be 40% greater than current supply. A crisis in the making if the world does not act. Already, Ontario is beginning to provide solutions. From water conservation to nanotechnology, Ontario companies are leading the way and employing 22,000 people in good, high-paying Ontario jobs selling water technology around the world. Your government will work with our colleges, universities, and entrepreneurs to create even more Ontario jobs and attract even more clean water expertise and investment to our province. It will strengthen protections for our water, including the Great Lakes. It will build on our strong foundation of water expertise and make our province the clean water capital of North America. Your government asks that our partner in Ottawa recognize and fund Ontario's green revolution, which is already underway, just as it is funding carbon sequestration research in other provinces. Our world has changed. The challenges facing Ontarians in that new world are unprecedented, but Ontario families have every right to be hopeful about their future because our world needs Ontario. It begins with a new 5-year plan for a more open Ontario. Because we know that when we invest in each other's health care and education, we are investing in our shared future. We know that the new clean technology products and services we will develop and sell will not only create good Ontario jobs for our families, but a cleaner and better planet for all. That's the goal of Open Ontario.
So they're talking a lot about Open Ontario. We're hearing the word open a lot. We're hearing the word new a lot. So this is the new Ontario. It's now they're now open for business. The Ontario Liberals have a throne speech, an economic budget, and a plan that involves chromite mining, involves clean water technology, nanotechnology, and you know, there's some stuff I guess that's going to be new going on in terms of this province economically. Well, since we're into this new world order, and since it is the march to the new world order, well, I think might be a good time to play the new world order song by Toronto artist Blackest Ninja. New world order, word up. JaneFinch.com.
Can't stop the unstoppable. Let's go. A new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, so you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living, new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, so you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living, or you're gonna run and get chipped, waiting in line, or you're gonna load up a clip and bust off a nine, or you're gonna be in shock and start to cry and whine, or grasp this little time and free your mind. All I got is my seed and my. It may sound funny, but I'm here to save mankind. You may not hear my songs, but that's okay, cause my words are like my songs in this age today. So don't get hypnotized by the box that tells lies, cause when the machines rise, for sure we gonna ride. So bury all your pride, to take a good look inside, and then you realize that we living in a lie. You better wake up or get plugged out before there's a meltdown. You can die anytime by the 4 pound. You can even happen tomorrow or right now. It can even happen on one of your rounds out of town. A new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, so you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living, new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, so you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living. This is the Blackest Ninja. I'ma keep this place bouncing and have these crazy rappers running back to the mountains. I ain't from the trailer park, I'm from Ontario housing, where you get murk, pen time, I'll make hundreds of thousands. It ain't nothing, I'm a product of my surroundings. Look how the music is sounding when bass is pounding. I'm that unsigned talent, they screaming I found him. He's the one rocking the crowd with all those niggas around him. Born in the ghetto, black and brilliant, thoughts is astounding. The best I ever seen so far, might as well crown him. Flooding these streets with mixtapes, fake MCs is drowning. A hungry man is an angry man, I hear him growling. A new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, say you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living, new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, say you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living, would you fight for the truth and die free? Or would you sit back and watch and live the fantasy? Are you a follower or a leader? Student or a teacher? Do you listen or you a believer? Spitting rhymes, smoking on this reefer, praying that my flow will reach her. Good God, I pray my flow will reach her. I'm a rose out of concrete, cause I rose out of concrete. They said I was dumb, but I still speak. I thank God I can rock an ill beat. Made the audience scream my name and stomp their feet. When I was younger, we used to play tag in the creek. Now I'm older, brothers getting bagged in the street. Every week I feel more weak. It's like they wanna kill my soul and see me take that long sleep. But before my mom's weak, I want them to see and her to see she made a real man out of me. A new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, say you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living, new world order, new beginning, new way to lie, new way of sinning, say you soon get slaughtered. If you ain't living the way they say they want you to be living.
All right, we are back here on CKLN 88.1 FM on Wednesday Word of Mouth. It is about 7:15 p.m. We're going to be talking about the mayor's race. We're going to be talking about Toronto. And, you know, the discussion about Toronto is always on, and you know, obviously in the Toronto Star and television and what have you. But we wanted to, I wanted to tell you something, but maybe something you didn't know. Did you know that you can sign up yourself to run for mayor, and the actual fee to run for mayor is $200. So if you got $200, you yourself can run for mayor if you're fed up with, you know, the whole situation, and you think you can do a better job than the current candidates. I just want to let you know that to give you a chance to run. So the closing date for signing up to run for mayor is Friday, September 10th, 2010 at 2 p.m. So you have from now until then to get those $200 in and start running for mayor, because I've heard a lot of complaints about this race. And now let's see if, you know, if you're one of those folks, you've lived here all your life, go for it. But we wanted to introduce you to the four candidates that are running that we know of so far. I'm sure there's others, but the ones that we were able to get for the show tonight are four, and they are George Smitherman, Rocco Rossi, Joe Pantalone, and Rob Ford. And I think we're going to just start off with some clips.
Giorgio Mammoliti, Sarah Thompson are the other two I know, and Rocco Champong.
Yeah, so the next show, we'll get some clips from them.
Yeah.
But for today, we're going to introduce you to those four in their own words and sometimes in the words of other Torontonians. We're going to open up the lines to you because I want to hear what you have to say about what you think Toronto needs. And when I say Toronto, I'm talking about something that could be done in the place that you live, in your neighborhood. And if you want to talk about traffic, yeah, that covers the entire city too. So the call-in number here is 416-595-1655. That's 416-595-1655. But we're going to head into the clips right now, and I think we're starting with George Smitherman.
All right, here's the candidates for mayor 2010.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's a real privilege to have had a chance just now to register to be a candidate for mayor in our city of Toronto. A vote for my campaign is a vote for a city that works. I'm going to bring new energy and new direction and new leadership to the challenges which confront Toronto. In so many ways, the core services that our citizens depend upon need some extra boost. We've got a lot of work to do to restore opportunities for jobs for people in our city. And over the course of this campaign, I'm going to bring what I've brought to public life so far, a level of energy and a capacity to be a transformative figure and to move policy files along. The city of Toronto is an extraordinary place, and we all know about the strengths that it has. But there is a feeling in our city that for all of those strengths that we do fail sometimes to hit our stride and to achieve all of what we would all like to be is possible. And over the course of this campaign, working with the people of Toronto, I intend to lay out a policy, a platform, which will be a platform for action that will make our city work again. And I'm really...
I am Joe Pantaloni, and I'm a candidate for mayor for the city of Toronto. I want to be mayor of Toronto because I want to give back to the city of Toronto. Me and my family were lucky enough to come here as immigrants. I've had the privilege of living here since 1965. My history of public service started before I got elected. I've been on Toronto City Council and Metro Council before that for 29 years. I've been on budget committees. I've run exhibition plays. I've been a deputy mayor for 6 years. In effect, I've been an apprentice mayor. So I've been prepared to do the job. Toronto is at an interesting time. We know that there is a disconnect between City Hall and the general population. And we have to reestablish that bond, that trust. The mayor of the city of Toronto has to bring people together, and they have to work collegially. That's what Joe Pantaloni's experience is, and that's my vision. People should vote for Joe Pantaloni for mayor on October 25th, 2010, because Joe Pantaloni has the experience to do the job, has the passion to do the job. When Joe Pantaloni says something, he will give it his best. And if you have the experience, you have the vision, you have the pragmatism how to approach it, then the job will get done.
That was Joe Pantaloni. We're waiting for our next candidate here.
The choice on October 25th comes
Rocco
down
Rossi.
To those of us who have a new and bold vision for Toronto, and professional politicians who lack the energy and initiative to take Toronto to a better place. I'm not a professional politician. I haven't run for office because I've been running things in both the public and the private and the not-for-profit sectors. 6 weeks ago, I hit the ground running with a precise three-point plan to take back our city. My plan involves balancing the books, attacking gridlock, and getting serious about new economic growth. One plan, three priorities, and a roadmap for a new generation of city builders with roots from all over the globe to get Toronto back on track.
Well, I think it should be the mayor. Integrity. It's a man with integrity.
How do you know him?
I work with him. He supports my nonprofit organization that I have with the kids, Crew TV.
Okay.
Controversial Raw Urban Expression. We teach digital media to kids. And so he was one of the first guys that supported what we did. So, you know, at the end of the day, and I also live in his riding, so yeah, he sent me some stuff. I came to check it out. And I'm here to see what it's all about.
Okay, my name is Caroline Vetch. I live in Rexdale. Ford is our counselor. He's absolutely been fantastic for us. Any problems, any complaints, he was always, always, always there. We will support him 100%.
And we need a person like him. He speaks from his heart. And what's in his heart, it's out in his face. And he has experience. And I like to help him. And I would like to see everybody around suburb in the metro. We need somebody who can stand for what he believes in.
Hi, my name is Silvana Samponia, and I'd like to wish Rob Ford to be mayor of Toronto. He seems to be the best man for the job, and I know he'll put Toronto in place.
My name's Ryan Swain, and I think Rob Ford should be mayor because he's the only one that truly understands fiscal management at City Hall. He's the only one that can get down to business and actually get things done. I don't trust many of the current councillors down at City Hall, and I have a lot of trust and faith and respect in Rob Ford.
We think he should be the next mayor in Toronto because we've been listening to 6:40 a.m. every Thursday, and what he says about the community, we really believe in it. And I used to also go to high school that he used to teach, which was the Scarlet Heights, and I'm here to support him and also volunteer for the campaign. Yeah.
Also, yeah, I support him because he did a lot of things, you know, for my people, you know, for the community, and help in Tobacco, it helps
a lot. Yeah, and we do have a large population of Somali community, and I've been working with the community for the past 16 years, And I mean, I see he can do much more than what other councillors are doing, so we really believe in it. So we want to see what he has to say today.
Okay. Rob Ford is the best. He is honest, and we need a guy like him. I love you, Rob. I don't know you, but you are the best, man.
Rob Ford should be mayor because I, as a businesswoman, appreciate him as a business leader. He's a businessman, and he's going to run this city and maybe one day this country in the same way. He's supporting the seniors. He's good for the city. Way to go.
Rob Ford should be the mayor of Toronto because he's got integrity. He cares about the people. He's honest with spending, and this is the way to go. Come on, Toronto taxpayers, be real. We need a change. This is the change. Rob Ford for mayor.
So that was some...
Here's Rob Ford. He's on the
there we go. We got more Rob Ford.
They call me a bold and shiny shop. Better than me. Called some four-letter words.
Here's Rob Ford. He's got something to say.
He's a typical pig at the trough. He's useless. What has he done?
Has a take on all the issues, big or small.
I've got more done in my ward than any counselor ever has. I do my homework.
Rob Ford tells you what is wrong with City Hall.
I'm telling you now, I wouldn't trust one of these counselors with fires I could throw him.
Rob Ford tells you what is wrong with City Hall.
There you have it, the ultimate truth seeker at City Hall, Rob Ford.
Rob Ford.
And I think I even heard in there somebody is hoping for a Rob Ford for Prime Minister campaign.
Rob Ford for Prime Minister. Yep. So, yeah, okay. So those are the four so far that we're presenting to you. That was George Smitherman, Rocco Rossi, Joe Pantalone, Rob Ford. George Smitherman was McGuinty, Premier Dalton McGuinty's right-hand man. He was the former Minister of Health. Joe Pantalone was the former Deputy Mayor of Toronto. Rob Ford is a city councillor and, obviously, a 640 AM radio host.
Exactly. And Rocco Rossi, I believe, was working for Michael Ignatieff before.
Michael Ignatieff. I think he ran John Tory's campaign.
Right. Campaign manager.
That's right. At this point, we don't have any clear... platform from any of these candidates.
No.
We just have that, they've announced, they have their websites, they have their introductory letter, they all say that they have a vision, and they have, some of them, like Rocco Rossi already has his campaign slogan, which is Taking Back Toronto. Now, I mean, taking back Toronto from who? I don't know. Like, right. That's something that would have to be clarified. But in any case, those are our four. We got another three that we will talk about next week. But in the meantime, I wanted to talk to you, the listener, and about what you think is important to Toronto. I know this question is now being presented all over the place in the media about what is your idea of your vision of Toronto and what you think it should be. It's a little bit complex. Just because there have been a lot of promises to Torontonians about change, and we've had little. It's not like we've had none. I mean, we have a whole new recycling program, right? Mm-hmm. We got something.
That's true.
But I think there is a lot more that Torontonians want, so we wanted to hear what you have to say about it. The phone number here is 416-595-1655. So some of the issues right now that are out there, one of the biggest ones that is in the media today is the TTC.
Yes, that's actually is a good idea for. We'll try to look for the clip of Sarah Thompson because I know that she's one of the candidates for mayor, and I think she's a magazine publisher who had a policy who's already put forward a policy about the TTC expansion, funding it through having road tolls on the Gardiner Expressway and the DVP, $5 on, $5.
Yeah, that'd be tough. I don't know if anybody's been, out there, have gone to New York State, and you got to go through all those tolls.
Right.
That is just, I don't think that... Anyway, that is a proposal.
Seems like an old world order rather than a new world order.
But what is new is that the TTC workers are calling town hall meetings. I don't know if you knew about that, but they are calling town hall meetings to talk to the public about what's going on, because I don't know if you noticed, but in the media, in the different papers, there's been an enormous amount of criticism against TTC workers. Yes. So now the TTC is calling town hall meetings, and it's called Let's Talk TTC Riders and Workers. Okay. And the first of these town hall meetings will be hosted by John Tory on April 11th, and you know, it is a chance for the public to talk to the workers finally, because I think it's been forever since they haven't talked. I think this might be the first in time in a long time. I won't say, you know, for the TTC's history, but since I can remember, this is actually the first type of meeting that they've called for the public. So if you have issues with the TTC, which no doubt you do, mm-hmm. if you take the TTC, because there's just not enough mm-hmm. of it, they start on April 11th.
Nice. Okay, yeah, that's something we should look out for. But actually...
Yeah, go ahead.
Actually, we're getting close to 7:30, so do you think we should play a quick track and then try to get Raul Bravan on?
Yep, so we're going to get... Yeah, that's a good.
Okay,
that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then after that, we'll get back to this.
We'll get back to the mayor's race afterwards. Yeah.
All right. This is 95.6 with a track called "Snow Some." Word of Mouth Wednesday.
No remedy for ignorance. Humble your fall and make the call. It's easy acting, sense the urgency. Call 911 and tell them this is an emergency. 956 is after me. No hiding when truth for free. Acting, sense the urgency. Call 911 and tell them this is an emergency. Emergency, 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 emergency.
CKLN 88.1 FM. Transmitting from Ryerson University in downtown Toronto. Okay, so we all know about climate change, the conference that came and went in Copenhagen. But did you know about People's Conference on Climate Change? The Bolivian government of Evo Morales, the First Nations president of Bolivia, has invited 192 member nations of the United Nations to participate in this summit that Morales organized after the failure of the climate change summit in Copenhagen. International representatives from groups around the world, including Canada's Naomi Klein, Latin American writer Eduardo Galeano, actor Danny Glover, Nobel Peace Prize recipient Pablo Esquivel, South Africa's Desmond Tutu, and NASA climate change expert Bill McKibben will be there, and I think our next guest, Toronto's own Raul Burbano from the Toronto Bolivia Solidarity Network. Hello, Raul.
Hello, Robin. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
Raul, tell us about the conference and why it's needed.
Well, I think, first of all, I would have to just go back a little bit in terms of that the plurinational state of Bolivia and many countries around the world, including a lot of the ALBA countries, which is the Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of Our Americas, refused to sign the Copenhagen Accord and also denounced the results of the UN conference. I mean, they felt it really the validity of a lot of the other nations and was really only designed to guarantee the positions of small groups of countries. So in response to that sort of fractured process in Copenhagen, the plurinational state of Bolivia, as it's now called, has basically invited the world to, and it's open to everybody and anybody, not just government officials and obviously social movements, to partake in the World's People's Conference on Climate Change and the Rights of Mother Earth on April 19th and the 22nd in Cochabamba. And I think it's historical because, I mean, you're probably going to have about close to 10,000 people are expected from more than 50 countries with all the great guests that you just mentioned will be there as well.
Okay, so your group is calling on Torontonians to sign up and go to the Climate Change Conference.
Absolutely. So you can participate in one of two ways. You can actually just go online and register, and if you can make your way down, you know, you'll be joined by, you know, close to 10,000 people who will be there. But you can also partake online if you can't make it physically. So if you register online, there are about 17 working groups that are taking place online, and you can partake, you know, virtually type of thing.
Tell us about those working groups.
Well, so the working groups vary. We're talking of things sort of like a structure. Look. Analyzing structural causes that cause climate change, harmony with Mother Nature. Bolivia is talking about a global referendum on climate change that we can talk a little bit about, indigenous people's rights, climate debt, the Kyoto Protocol. We could pull it off, and it's really looking at that the Earth is a living superorganism that should have rights, just like people have rights, or just like in the Western world, corporations have rights. So looking at creating a social and environmental contract to reestablish balance and harmony with Mother Earth. And then, as I said, the third point that I think is going to be an important component that could come out of the conference is a global referendum on climate change. So Bolivia is calling that the world should do a referendum and let the people decide, not just a small group of politicians or ministers.
A referendum. Can you just talk a little bit more about that referendum, what it would look like?
I mean, that's still to be determined, but really it would be allowing the citizens, the social movements, you know, the you and me type of thing, to be able to have a say in what type of deal we should have in terms of climate change. I mean, what we're expecting is that, according to many estimates, that the commitments that were made under the accord would lead to the increase of between, I don't know, 3 or 4 degrees Celsius temperature-wise, which is a level that many scientists consider disastrous for human life on Earth. And they're saying, why should just a small group of individuals make that decision? It should be, you know, made by the people of the world who will be potentially affected catastrophically by this, you know, the rise in global temperature.
You know, this issue of climate change, I mean, there was a discussion, I think, and it's still on today, whether climate change is actually real. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the other perspective is, you know, climate change isn't real and it's just a natural thing that happens to the Earth, you know, every once in a while in its long history.
Absolutely. And I think that's, I would say, part of the tactic to sort of you know, go against that there's actually a problem causing. I mean, if we take, for example, Bolivia or even the Andean region, according to many scientists, 30% of the glaciers in the Andean region have already disappeared. Bolivia specifically, for example, is facing a potential critical water shortage. There was just an article that came out just recently that's saying that it could be within the next 5 years that Bolivia could have almost no water, impacting mainly the big cities of sort of La Paz and El Alto, who were densely populated. So we're talking about, it's already happening. So I'm not sure how people can be talking about, you know, a science that's trying to tell us, you know, if you put a mathematical equation that might, you know, reduce the temperature. We see the impact today, and the water shortages that we see in Bolivia, in the Andean region, and in the Globe is a clear expression of that.
Yeah, you know, I just want to talk a little bit more about climate change right here in Toronto, because the call out for your group was for Torontonians to go down to this conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, you know, myself, I've seen this issue in the media. It's got wide attention, like media attention, the issue of climate change. But it's interesting talking to individual people who have traveled around the world and right here in our own backyards in Toronto about climate change. So from what I've heard from people in Venezuela, they have a serious water shortage. From what I've heard, people in Uruguay, which is, you know, closer to the southern end of South America, they have too much water, so they've had excessive rainfall and flooding. And right here in Toronto, we've had a very mild winter. Very mild winter. I think one of the mildest winters that folks can remember. We enjoy it. We're enjoying it here in Toronto. But talking to my neighbor yesterday, she was saying that it affects the soil, and it affects the, and this is just in her own backyard, right? This is an interesting thing because we don't think about this, but she spends a lot of time in her garden throughout the winter, which is, you know, and she says that the snowfall actually keeps the soil warm, and it makes it easier for her plants to sprout the next, you know, during the spring. And this time around, because there was no snow, it became very difficult. So there are, although we enjoy the weather, which she also said she did, we are seeing, according to people that I've talked to, changes right here in our own backyards.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, nowhere in the world, and nobody's immune to the potential, you know, the impacts that we are seeing and the future impacts. And I think, you know, a lot of people have said we're sort of at that tipping point that something drastic has to be done now to address the issue of climate change. And it's just, you know, it's not something that we can gamble on. It's something that we have to make a commitment for, not just for ourselves as individuals, but for the generations that will come before us.
But, I mean, the big doubt that I have in my mind is that what is, at this point, one of the major causes of climate change in the world, Raul?
I'm by no means an expert in that area, but it would be, according to many scientists, sort of, you know, greenhouse, you know, the greenhouse effect, where, you know, carbon, CO2 emissions into the air.
Yeah, so that doesn't seem to be going down. Like, I mean, we still, in North America, we will not stop using cars.
Absolutely.
And there's no investment in trains. Other parts in the world are still industrializing and still throwing out enormous amounts of emissions. And so what could be strong enough that comes from this conference, some kind of proposal strong enough to effect some kind of change?
And I think that's a good point, and that's probably the struggle for many of us who live in the West, who live in a very comfortable lifestyle, that we don't want to be impacted, you know, materialistically in the way we live. But I think we don't have a choice. I mean, it's not something that we can decide. What sort of Bolivia has been proposing for a while, and not just recently. Destroying the earth and not allowing it to replenish itself is what's leading to the destruction of the earth, but also eventually of society. So it's changing that to a more communitary vision. When I was in Bolivia, some of the indigenous people I've met sort of in the highlands said to me, it's not how much land that we will leave for our children, like we think here in the West. It's what type of children will we leave to take care of our land in terms of living in harmony with the land. So I think that's the key, Robin, that we need to change our vision of how we have to live. And it's definitely not the Western vision.
Yeah, it sounds like there's going to be a definite divide there between North and South in terms of actually affecting these types of changes. Raul, how can people get down there with your group?
Well, our group is heading down. There's a group of three of us that are going down, myself and two, and also we have Bob Lovelace, who's an indigenous leader from the Ardoc Nation, Algonquin people, and he's also, a part-time professor at the University of Queens. People can, call our group. They can either send us an email or even just, we're not going to take action. So the goal is not just to go there, have a great time, meet some nice people, and then come back. The goal is to build a global movement that will counter exactly what you and I have been talking about, sort of that Western amnesia, that Western apathy that we need to change the world we live in. So by engaging civil society, by engaging, social organizations, groups, union groups, church groups, whatever it may be, that you can build a broader coalition that can confront that, historical chain of individuals that make decisions for the majority of the people.
Thank you very much, Raul, and really appreciate you being on our show tonight.
Perfect. Maybe I could, do you have the website for?
We don't, go ahead.
So, let me just, I think I have it here. It's, sorry, thought I had it. It's a cmpcc.org.
CMP?
cmpcc.org. You can register online. If you can't make it down there, then you can participate online by the different groups, working groups that will take place.
Thanks a lot, Raul.
Thank you very much, Robin.
Word up. We're back on Word of Mouth Wednesday, and just wanted to throw a quick music track before we come back and wrap up here for the Word of Mouth Wednesday. This one's recommended by Norman Otis Richmond, norman.o.richmond@gmail.com. Email reminder that March is Women History Month, and we're going to remember to remember Betty Swan. This is Make Me Yours, Betty Swan, recommended by Norman Otis Richmond for Women's History Month.
I don't want to live, no.
Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're back here. It's about 7:51, so we only got about 9 minutes left.
Just 9 minutes.
I did have a few more clips I was thinking of playing. You know what I think would be a good follow-up, just to mention here, since we just had that last interview on the People's Summit, Climate Change Summit, coming up in Bolivia. And I apologize if some people didn't get to totally hear everything with that interview. There's some technical things we're working on here, but well, technically speaking, in terms of the environment, I got a headline right here on Google News, uploaded 34 minutes ago. President Obama took a gamble with the environment and his political base yesterday, opening up 167 million acres, 67 million hectares of coastal waters for oil drilling. And I think this is the one that's off the coast of Alaska. This is going to be some major drilling in the oceans. And then I thought, you know, this might be a good time to just play a few, a couple minutes of Lawrence Cannon's speech at the Foreign Ministers' Meeting in the Arctic Ocean. It was the Arctic Ocean Foreign Ministers' Meeting about this situation. And, you know, it's just, maybe it's just a coincidence that all these announcements are at the same time. But here's what Lawrence Cannon.
The Arctic Ocean region is on the verge of significant and fundamental change. International interest in the region has never been greater. Today we discussed the emerging issues we all face in the region. By virtue of our sovereignty, sovereign rights and jurisdiction in large parts of the Arctic Ocean, we are in a unique position to address new opportunities and challenges in the region. We are committed to doing so within the extensive international legal framework applying to the Arctic Ocean. As Arctic Ocean coastal states, we have unique roles and responsibilities for the stewardship in the Arctic Ocean and to the orderly resolution of any possible overlapping claims. As access to the region increases due to climate change, there is new potential public safety challenges such as search and rescue, emergency preparedness, and disaster management. In many cases, it will be the Arctic Ocean coastal states that will be both the first ones affected and best placed to respond. We are working through the Arctic Council towards a legally binding search and rescue agreement in the Arctic. The Arctic Council is the central forum for international cooperation on Arctic issues. We are also working through the International Maritime Organization on a mandatory regime that will make shipping in our Arctic waters safer. Perhaps one-fifth of the world's remaining petroleum reserves lay in the Arctic, largely within the jurisdiction of Arctic Ocean coastal states. The natural resource potential of the Arctic Ocean is immense. Managed sustainably, these resources can contribute to our regional economic and social development, including for indigenous peoples for generations to come.
So, okay, so that's some of the words you're hearing there, that they're talking about maybe up to one-fifth of all the undiscovered oil is in the Arctic on Earth. So these are the situations we're heading into ecologically. Speaking, they're going to be drilling in the oceans off Alaska, and they are now in discussions about who's going to get into the Arctic. Canada is talking a lot about Arctic sovereignty, but they just had that recent Arctic summit. Hillary Clinton was there as the Secretary of State for the United States. A Russian representative was there, and I think there was a representative from Greenland. So there's some stuff going on in the north that we're not totally sure about, and, you know, stuff going on in the south, as we just heard our last guest, Raul Burbano, talk about.
Yep, that's a difficult one. I mean, even our tar sands right now, our always supposed oil fields, you know, we don't have much of a say in that either, so we won't have much of a say in what goes on in the Arctic as well. So it's almost like if you want climate change, it's going to have to come from governments that are willing to commit to doing it. It doesn't seem to be governments up here in the north. So you might be seeing leadership on climate change coming from conferences such as the one that's going to be taking place in Bolivia, because they actually have world leaders and government heads that will be there, and ministers and presidents that will actually be there and may commit to forging something for climate change, and to try to stop it at least from those countries. Mm. Up north, the commitment here seems to be elsewhere.
Right. And, there is a commitment to the markets. And that's the one last clip that I have that I was thinking of getting into. We might be pushing it for time. So I might save it for next week. But it's a major situation that's going on right now in Wall Street, where at the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, the name of a whistleblower has come out talking about major manipulations of the markets. And the thing that happened, I believe it was last Thursday or Friday that this testimony happened, and it was the Gold Antitrust Action Committee talking about a situation here with two major banks in the States, JP Morgan Chase, HSBC, talking about their manipulation with the COMEX, manipulating the price, actually suppressing the price of gold and silver, and then they cash in. At the end of each, cycle, they have a few days where, and this guy, this whistleblower guy, notified the Futures Commission and told them about this, when it was going to happen, and they have him, there's evidence of him live on the internet saying that this stuff is going to happen as it's happening, as the actual numbers are changing in the market and stuff. You find out that these two major financial firms are controlling a large portion of the price. They can short the market by using the economic weapons of mass destruction, the reason that the TARP was created. That's right, OTC derivatives. Derivatives are back, and, well, maybe we'll get into a bit of this next week, but the major headline of this, the reason why it was made a major headline, or in the conspiracy world at least, that I've been looking into, is because the day after this whistleblower's name came to light, his car was smashed. Somebody drove into his car, and he was out shopping. He tried to get out of the parking lot, and this is all in London. This is the London markets. I guess that's where some major corruption is going on. And on the conspiracy websites, they're saying that it could have been an assassination attempt. Well, his name is Andrew Maguire, so you can search Andrew Maguire online. There's KingWorldNews.com has an interview out with this guy. I guess they got the exclusive interview a few days ago. So there's a major thing going on, and I'm just giving you a bit of the bare minimum of facts there, just because we're running low on time. But you can look into that yourself, and hopefully next week we'll be talking a bit about that. Again, my name's Daniel Libby, and we got Robin Yetto.
Good night, everyone.
All right, yeah, good night, says Robin. And maybe I'll just name or list a few events coming up. We got the Rebel Film Series returning to OISE tomorrow. The film screening War Made Easy at 252 Bloor Street West. Also, Toronto True Seeker Street Action returning this Saturday, Young Dundas Square on this Saturday. And then next Tuesday, April 6th, there's a Grassy Narrows public talk with Judy De Silva, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at Steelworkers Hall, and also featuring Judy Rebeck. That's 252 Cecil Street, and more info on that at rabble.ca. And also next Tuesday, April 6th, there's a public forum, Poverty and the Provincial Budget, Health Jobs and Resistance, speakers discussion at OISE next Tuesday, room 252 Bloor Street West, room 5260. And more info on that at socialistproject.ca/events. Another event next Wednesday morning, actually 11 a.m. next Wednesday, the Ontario Health Coalition has a rally, Sick of Hospital Cuts and Privatization. And that listing can also be found at socialistproject.ca/events. Thanks a lot for listening to the Word of Mouth Wednesday today. And we'll get you lined up for our next show here. It's the Blues Dr. Julie Hill in the building. And we got the cure for your music ills with the Blue Remedy.